hello, gang, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. And today we have with us Professor Richard Sloan. Welcome to the show, Professor.
Thank you. Good to be here. Happy Thanksgiving holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving holiday to you, too. And today we're going to talk about this recent development of Green Party candidate Jill Stein filing for a recount in three states, the three states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, which, by the way, are the three states where if you could move about 100,000 votes from the Trump column to the Hillary column, then the election would swing to Hillary. So this has gotten a lot of people agitated in one way or another. It's gotten a lot of Trump people upset, and it's got a lot of Hillary people feeling hopeful that, oh, well, maybe we can have our first woman president after all, or whatever it was that they saw in Hillary.
It's got some Hillary supporters feeling hopeful, but did you note, Dr. Slattery, that a couple of days ago, the White House came out and sort of threw cold water on the efforts, saying that with Obama releasing a statement that he had confidence in the election results and that we should all just move forward.
That's very interesting. No, I wasn't aware of that. So perhaps you should introduce the situation and we can talk about it some. And then I understand that you have a alternative theory or a novel theory on possible motives by Jill Stein. And this is actually Jill Stein who's doing it, not the Green Party per se.
Okay, well, as we talk now over Thanksgiving weekend, I believe that the goal for the fundraiser is $7 million, and she's already raised close to $5 million. I think the initial amount that she was trying to raise was $2.5 million, which would have paid for the filing fees in all three states, but wouldn't have covered what she says are going to be extensive legal fees. And we're already into the weekend now, and the deadline for the application for recount in Wisconsin has already passed. It was November 25th, and Jill Stein made that deadline. And so she's already applied for a recount in Wisconsin. Pennsylvania and Michigan are coming up on November 28th and November 30th. And these, I think, as you already mentioned, are all states where Trump won by a very narrow margin. He won Michigan by about 10,000 votes, Pennsylvania by about 57,000 votes, and Wisconsin by about 27,000 votes. And there are some people that are questioning Jill Stein's motives and asking, why didn't she demand a recount in, say, New Hampshire, where Hillary won only by a margin of 2,000 or 3,000 votes? And so different people have different theories about what Jill Stein's endgame is. I think the Trump camp's official stance is that it's just a scam to raise money. But one wonders, does that really get her anywhere if all of the money she raises has to immediately go to either pay for the filing fees mm-hmm. for these recounts or go to legal fees mm-hmm. to support recounts and better voter integrity? How does that benefit Jill Stein of the Green Party?
So could you, before saying what your theory is, obviously you don't have knowledge about what's going on, but nobody does. Nobody in the press really knows what's motivating the Jill Stein campaign to do this. But could you first say what some of the other talking heads, what some of the talking heads are saying, some of what the various theories are, and then say what you think it might be?
Well, what a lot of the talking heads are saying, of course, is that the Hillary camp got to Jill Stein, that Democrats paid her off, that some of the big money that, of course, was behind the Hillary push has now influenced Jill Stein, or influenced her, perhaps not monetarily, but in some sort of political way. And you and I thought that we'd get together today and do this podcast because we wanted to remind some of your listeners who are more to the right and probably regard both the Democrats and the Greens as being on the left and so probably in cahoots with each other. We wanted to point out that that's not really the case, that the biggest bully from the Green Party point of view is usually the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. This isn't a perfect analogy, but think of like a middle child who's like, you know, maybe 14 years old, and he's got an older brother who's 16 years old and a younger brother who's 11. The oldest brother usually doesn't pick on the youngest brother. It's the middle child who's fighting with the older one and fighting with the younger one. That's kind of where the Democrat Party is. The Democrat Party is always trying to take on the Republicans and call them kooks and challenge their traditional values. But at the same time, the Democrat Party is very threatened by the Green Party. And let's just say the Green Party, you and I both know about a lot of stories. The Green Party has been caused a lot more grief by the Democrats than they've ever been caused by the Republicans.
That's right. That's right. So, for instance, in 2000, when Ralph Nader was the Green Party candidate, and you had the very close election and the extremely close result in Florida, the Democrats not just blamed Ralph Nader and the Greens for the result of the election, but went on to do everything they could to punish them. And Ralph Nader wound up bearing the brunt of it at, you know, the early 2000s. He bore the brunt of it, and the Greens kind of tried to distance themselves from Ralph Nader. I remember in the 2004 election, they had made it pretty clear that they were not interested in Ralph Nader running on the Green ticket. But the reason wasn't that they disliked Ralph Nader so much, is that they had suffered so much abuse from the Democrats and simply didn't think they could really survive as a party if they continued to associate with Ralph Nader, who was, at the time, you know, the most hated person in America by the Democrats. At the time, I remember, because I have an association with Ralph Nader, and, you know, Ralph Nader didn't have Secret Service protection, but he's somebody who doesn't own a car. He walks around a lot. And wherever he goes, he just kind of drafts these impromptu posses of bodyguards. You know, any physically fit-looking men who are around, he just kind of drafts them. And so on a number of occasions, I had chances to walk through the streets of Washington, D.C. with him, you know, as he was leaving a demonstration, you know, a lot of anti-war demonstrations. And that's part of how I got to know him. So the Greens tried to distance themselves to an extent, but there's incredibly bad blood between the Democrats and the Greens. And I don't know why I didn't think of it, really, because a lot of people are saying that, well, Jill Stein is being paid she's shilling for Hillary, she's being paid for this. And it's certainly plausible that Trump's theory that she's doing this as a scam to raise money, it could be nothing more than a scam to raise money.
It could be, but right now her goal is $7 million. Here's the small print on the Jill Stein fundraising website. All money raised goes toward recounts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. We hope to do recounts in all three states. If we only raise sufficient money for two, we will demand recounts in two states. If we only raise enough money for one, we will demand a recount in one state. We cannot guarantee a recount will happen in any of these states we are targeting. We can only pledge we will demand recounts in those states. If we raise more than what's needed, the surplus will also go toward election integrity efforts and to promote voting system reform. Now, of course, voting system reform, a subject that you and I are going to get into shortly, is something that the Green Party will want. So it obviously serves their interest. But if they keep to the fine print on the fundraising website, Jill Stein cannot pocket the money or cannot use it for future Green Party campaigns. The money can't go there.
But it could go to ballot access. And that is the number one expense that Green Party candidates have. I didn't think of this. This is Professor Sloan, I give you all the credit for thinking of it, but it's like a light bulb going off in my head. Because for third-party candidates, whether it's Ralph Nader, the Green Party, it's so hard to get on the ballot. And in some of these states, North Carolina, Texas, and Pennsylvania is one of them, the requirements for getting enough signatures to be on the ballot are so high that volunteer efforts don't suffice, and they wind up having to hire people. That's the number one expense. And then the next expense in some of these states is, you know, once you get on the ballot, then the Democrats try to kick you off. And you have to have money for court costs and things like that. That's why there's so much bad blood. And you had reminded me that some years ago in Pennsylvania, there was, I know Ralph Nader, I remember from the Ralph Nader campaign, he had gotten kicked off the ballot in Pennsylvania and wound up having to pay the court costs associated with it. Now, Ralph Nader is a wealthy man, but I believe a Green Party candidate also wound up getting kicked off the ballot and having to pay for the court costs and, you know, might have had to go into bankruptcy or something. There's a lot of bad blood.
Yes, that particular individual that you're talking about, he had to pay $90,000 out of his own pocket. So that's a dirty trick that the Democrats will use to prevent the Green Party from having the wherewithal to take them on in some states.
So then one question is, is this risky business? Because Jill Stein herself had said that Hillary's warmongering is much scarier than anything from Donald Trump. And is there a possibility that this could wind up overturning the election results in these three states? If they're just trying to raise money, isn't this a risky way of doing it? What do you think about that, Professor Sloan?
Well, obviously, you and I hope that the election results won't be overturned. If you're looking at it from a marketing point of view, if you want to raise a lot of money, you have to give the anti-Trumpers hope that this could reverse the election. So you pick three states where Trump won by a small margin, and three states, if all of whose results were reversed, Hillary would be the winner instead of Trump. And so that's exactly what Jill Stein did. She picked Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. But Michigan, for example, doesn't have electronic voting. They have paper ballots. The only sort of electronic aspect of the system is when those paper ballots are then scanned in. And Michigan has, in essence, already done its recount because they went and they checked all of the paper ballots and made sure that they conformed with all of the digital scans, and they've just recently released their final determination that Trump did in fact win. So it's very unlikely that Michigan is going to reverse and decide, oh, we found tens of thousands of uncounted ballots in a closet somewhere, actually Hillary really won. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So it seems like one at least, and possibly two of these states, are red herrings. You throw out three states where Trump won by a narrow margin, if all of whose results were overturned, Hillary would win in order to get the money in, but you really only care about maybe one or two states. Mm. And I think Pennsylvania is the likely state that Jill Stein cares about the most. That's the state that she wants looked into more deeply. Her end game is probably not to get Hillary elected, because she said ahead of the election that a vote for Hillary, in essence, is a vote for World War III.
Right. So Michigan, it seems as if there would be absolutely no chance of those results being overturned. Although Michigan, it was close. I think, was it 16,000 vote difference or something? It was between 10 and 20, I believe.
It was 10,704 votes.
Okay, 10,704 votes. So it's close, but if they've already done this official certification, which involved counting all the paper ballots, not just the optical scanning results, it doesn't seem as if that's going to get overturned. So in the other two states, they seem to be selected because they're close and could potentially throw the election to Hillary. You have Wisconsin, which has the city of Milwaukee and the city of Madison, which were very big Hillary baskets of non-deplorables. And then in Pennsylvania, you'd have Pittsburgh area, and in particular, Philadelphia County, which is the city of Philadelphia, and notably corrupt. So you were raising the possibility that this is not simply a scam to raise money to maybe fleece the Never Hillary people for money, but perhaps even to get at the Democrats.
I think there could have been Democrat voter fraud in Pennsylvania. Now, Dr. Slattery, you were on one of these all-night shows in which you monitored very carefully the returns as they were coming in on election night, yes?
Mm. Yes, I was. It was
and
a lot of fun,
you
too.
May remember that Pennsylvania was very frustrating because some of these small counties that couldn't possibly have made a difference didn't release until like 3 or 4 in the morning. Maybe you could speak to that better than I could, because I wasn't live watching it as the results were coming in. But I heard that fishy things were happening with Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I do remember that there was a few counties right along the Mason-Dixon line, Adams County, I think Franklin County, that don't have a lot of people, but they were very slow in reporting. And Philadelphia had reported really quickly. Usually it's the opposite. Usually the counties that report first are the rural counties where you don't have a lot of votes to count in the first place. And, you know, you wouldn't have lines at the polls and things like that. Usually it is the cities that report later because there's so many votes there. And it was the opposite in Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia had reported very early. Now, they don't use these optical scanning paper-based ballots the way they do apparently in Michigan. And I'm not sure if all of Michigan's like that, but that's my impression from the news that I've been hearing. I know at least parts of Pennsylvania use types of voting machines that you can't have, there's no paper trail. And so you can't actually do a recount. All you can do is just push the total button again, and you're just going to get the same result. So there again, what could they be expecting from a recount? Now, some of the language that I heard in the press releases was not so much necessarily even voter fraud, but hacking, that there were anomalies in the voting results. And I could be wrong, but my impression was that perhaps some statisticians had looked at the results and compared it to the results of previous elections and see that certain precincts had their votes move wildly one way or another that would be unexpected. I mean, you could do a statistical analysis where you're comparing the vote totals from one election to another election, and you would expect them to be largely the same, although some are going to swing, you know, to an extent or to another extent. There might be an overall drift of 3% towards the Republicans, for instance, although some precincts might drift by 6% towards them and some might not drift at all towards them. But then if all of a sudden you have a precinct that has jumped by 45% and hardly anything else is jumping like that, that would be the red flag that someone would look for. And you'd say, well, that's an anomaly. So is that what they're looking for rather than for evidence of fraud or evidence of hacking? I'm not really sure. And I don't know how much we should just be speculating about things either.
Well, as long as your listeners understand that this is just pure speculation, you reminded me about these statisticians that there were MIT people that came out and said that looking at the statistics, they think that there's, without any evidence, that it could have been hacking, and lots of newspapers picked this up and mentioned Russia and said, you know, Russian hackers could have been behind these anomalies. And as we just mentioned, if Michigan is all paper ballots and just optical scans, their system isn't even on the internet.
It's unhackable. So, yeah.
It's unhackable. I thought we could focus on Pennsylvania a bit, because now, again, we're just speculating. We don't have any evidence for this. But people who say that there have been incidents of voter fraud, this is one of the ways they say it happens, is, for example, I'm just throwing out Democrat and Republican. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. But if there was a Democrat-controlled precinct that it's Democrat-controlled and they could hold it for a while and see what the other results come out in the state, if there's a way for them to move their numbers up a little bit and help the rest of the state, they will do that. So this doesn't mean that there was hacking. This doesn't mean that there was voter fraud. But the fact that some precincts that had very small populations and that should have released their results very early in the evening kept their results until very late in the evening makes one wonder if something fishy did not happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the thing about the voter fraud is the suspicions of voter fraud have been overwhelmingly that the Democrats could engage in voter fraud.
Yes, and it seems like if it happened in Pennsylvania, it's likely that it was Democrat voter fraud. And the point that you and I thought we would make is, understand that from the Green Party's point of view, the Democrats are the enemy. The Democrats are that middle brother that's always picking on them. You know, the expression, my enemy's enemy is my friend. The thorn in the Green Party's side is the Democrat Party, not the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And going back to Pennsylvania, there have been incidents in Pennsylvania where the Green Party will collect signatures to try to get their candidate on the ballot, and then the Democrat Party will challenge these signatures. And the Green Party will have to go to court, and they'll have to prove that all of these signatures are valid signatures. And they'll have to go one by one. They'll have to take up their own time. They'll have to take up their own money. They'll have to go to a city where the courthouse is, and they'll have to sit in a room with the Democrats and go over each signature one by one and try to verify each signature one by one. This is just a tactic that the Democrat Party uses to burn time and to eat up resources, because the Green Party is, of course, a party of a lot less resources than the Democrat Party. Mm-hmm. And so if Jill Stein wanted to get back at either party, I think she'd want to get back at the Democrats a lot more than she'd want to get back at the Republicans.
Right.
If there was voter fraud in the state of Pennsylvania, I think it's more likely it was in support of Hillary Clinton voter fraud than in support of Donald Trump. Don't forget that Hillary Clinton is part of the government. Hillary Clinton has a lot more tentacles than a private businessman like Donald Trump does. The Democrats were in a place to better perpetrate voter fraud, I think, than the Republicans were. The typical voter hanky-panky that the Republicans would do in a state like Pennsylvania would be to deny voting to certain minority groups. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard claims that happened in Pennsylvania. Maybe you have.
I'm not sure about that, but I think in Pennsylvania, they don't have a statewide system. I think different counties have different systems, so they could be using different machines. Now, David Duke ran for Senate in Louisiana this time, and I've heard some talk from, not from David, but from people involved in his campaign who suspect that his unusually low vote may well have been the result of a certain kind of fraud. And certainly his vote total, it's not just that it was lower, but usually his vote total on election day is two or three times what the opinion polls have it at. And this time, I think his vote total was lower than the opinion polls, which would be extremely strange. But, one point that's been made is that if there's one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans could agree on, it would be sabotaging David Duke, right? I mean, there would be,
Yes.
if anybody could be cheated on, it would be David Duke. But more than that, that in Louisiana, or at least in parts of Louisiana, they're using this machine that has built into it some program of fractional redistribution of votes. And I don't know the details and I don't know the evidence, but the person who was describing it to me is somebody who I consider credible, that these machines come with some sort of ability to fractionally redistribute votes. Now, it may well be that that would be a legitimate thing to build into a machine because at some future date you might have what they call instant runoff voting, where you're allowed to choose second and third and fourth place choices and things like that. Systems that we don't have in our electoral system now, but might be there in the future, and then these machines would have it programmed into it. But that there would have been some sort of method for taking a particular candidate's votes and then redistributing it and then rounding off the fractions in such a way that the vote totals are going to match the total number of people who are known to have come to vote. So this type of feature may well be in some of the machines in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin.
Yes, if your listeners are interested in that, there are some YouTubes about those fractional redistribution systems. Okay, let's agree that a big system like a nationwide election is going to obviously, just by nature of the fact that it's a big system, have holes in it. There are going to be opportunities for ballot boxes to be stuffed and ballots to be quote unquote lost. And there's going to be just the opportunity for hanky panky because any big system with a lot of people involved is just by definition not perfectly secure. Now, you had mentioned that in the case of David Duke, I mean, who could be a bigger boogeyman than poor Dr. Duke? He's been maligned on the press for what is it now, 42 years or so. If there was somebody that even good people could justify compromising their ethics and their morality for, if there was ever any villain that both the Republicans and the Democrats would come together to sabotage, it would be David Duke because he's just been so vilified by the media for so many decades. Well, stepping forward from there, there's something that the Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams, who, by the way, was a Trump supporter and wrote on his blog a lot of interesting things about this election as it was happening. There's something interesting that Scott Adams said. He said that the campaign strategy for the Clinton camp was to convince the public that Trump was literally Hitler. And they did a pretty good job because here we are 15 days out from the election. And there are still fearful, angry people protesting in the streets. Trump is not my president because they're afraid that the country elected Hitler. They're afraid that Trump is literally Hitler. So you have a system which, by its nature, allows a little bit of tampering just because it's such a big system. You have what we hope is a basically, essentially ethical population, but if you have a significant cross-section of that population believing that Trump is the next Hitler, well, is there ever a more likely case for a good man to compromise his ethics than to stop the new Hitler from becoming president? So I think that it's very likely that there was a fair amount of, maybe it wasn't large scale, maybe it was small scale, but it's fairly likely that there was a certain amount of tampering just because the stakes were so high. And if you believe that Trump is the next Hitler, which a lot of people did, the call to action was so great, even for a good man to compromise his ethics. Mm-hmm. Just to give an example that there's no love lost between the Democrats and the Green Party, I know a person who actually worked for the Green Party in Pennsylvania, and he was once out trying to collect signatures on a petition in order to get his candidate on the ballot. And when a Democrat saw what this person was doing, the Democrat stood right next to him, and everybody that came close enough that the Green Party person could have actually started a conversation with them and possibly got their signature. Every time somebody came close enough, the Democrat would shout, "A vote for Nader is a vote for Bush! A vote for Nader is a vote for Bush!" really loud, and that scared away the person. And that's, of course, illegal. You're interfering with the cross traffic that's coming toward a canvasser from a different party. But, you know, I mean, this is a small scale example of it, but this is the sort of thing that would happen between the Democrats and the Green Party. The point I'm trying to make is I know a few examples of cases like this where it's the Democrats who are the bullies and the Green Party people who have taken the blows a lot. And so I just wonder if this push by Jill Stein isn't being done in the hopes that some skeletons in the Democrat Party closet will come to light. Because Hillary obviously hasn't come out and put her support behind this push for a recount.
Okay, so I guess the takeaway from this is that Jill Stein is probably not trying to get Hillary into the White House. She's probably not trying to overturn the results of the election. That she may very well be, as Trump indicated, scamming, just trying to get money for her own purposes. It doesn't have to be for her campaign, but as you read from the fine print of the website, that the money raised, if there's anything left over, and there's likely to be tons of money left over, it can be used for electoral reform, which would include, I mean, the Green Party always has these lawsuits, and they're always trying to change the ballot access laws. They could be used for that purpose. And that, in fact, she may suspect no fraud on behalf of the Republicans, but indeed might be, if anything, trying to uncover fraud that the Democrats engaged in, and that this may well be a way of undermining the Democrats with their own money.
Wonderfully said, Dr. Slattery. I wish I could have put it into words.
You might not have put it into words, but you put the idea into my head, and I appreciate that, because my first reaction when I heard this news was that, wow, that she really turned turncoat, because she had been pretty anti-Hillary those last couple of weeks of the campaign, and then to do this, you know, I was kind of appalled. But it may well be something a lot slyer than it might seem on first glance.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen, and we need to stay vigilant, because there, you know, Trump has a lot of enemies. But one takeaway that your worried listeners might have is that it's unlikely that this recount is going to overturn the election, mainly because of Michigan, mainly because Michigan doesn't have anywhere to go. It doesn't seem like Michigan has already counted the paper ballots and presented certified results. And if Michigan doesn't flip, the election doesn't.
Yeah, Michigan's a sealed deal. And the other, and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin together, I mean, they're pretty unlikely. And in Pennsylvania's case, they need three voters in each precinct to sign affidavits requesting a recount in that precinct. So you're going to get a very, very spotty recount, probably just a small minority, a tiny minority of the precincts, which obviously couldn't overturn the election results, but which could set the stage for Green Party lawsuits about changing the electoral system or other issues of concern to them. And I understand that some of the Pennsylvania counties have already certified their results. So I don't see any way that Pennsylvania's results are going to be overturned before the December 19th meeting of the Electoral College. Of course, one unfortunate aspect of all of this is that it allows for those Never Trump people to maintain the narrative that somehow the election is disputed or illegitimate. But it's really not a threat to Trump's election, and it's probably partly a scam, largely a scam in order to raise money for Green Party's continuing ballot access efforts. And perhaps also a way of the Greens getting back at the Democrats, because the Greens hate the Democrats and the Democrats hate the Greens. And a lot of people might think, well, they seem so similar, but whether they're similar or not, there's no love lost.
Yes. What if this recount actually happens in Pennsylvania? And what if evidence comes to light that there were some padded votes and there was a lot of voting done by people who shouldn't have been admitted to the polls and who didn't have proper ID? What if it comes to light that there was what you would call voter fraud, even though it wasn't significant enough to turn the election, committed on the Democrat side? From what you know about the Green Party, wouldn't that be a giant feather in Jill Stein's cap?
Yeah, it would be. And there is actually a history of a certain level of cooperation between Greens and Republicans in Pennsylvania. There's been a certain amount of Republican donations to the Green Party, just because some Republicans see the Greens as being a way of siphoning off potential votes that could have gone to the Democrats. You know, after having talked to you, I feel a little bit more relieved. I'm a little more confident now that the Greens don't see this as a way of getting Hillary into office, but rather as a means of maybe kicking the Democrats while they're down and getting some of the usual suspects to naively finance their efforts to do so. We'll see shortly, because this will all have to be resolved within the next couple of weeks. The Electoral College votes on December 19th, and we'll see. This might not be the last thing that arises. I've always been a little bit worried that you might have, you know, something like the Grabocost happen again and have the mainstream conservatives in Congress or in the Electoral College then suddenly turn against Trump. That's been my larger concern. I'm not particularly worried about the outcome of any vote recount. But certainly a lot of people have been talking about it. There's been a lot of speculation, and I appreciate you calling me today and letting me know your theory, which to me is sounds to me like the most plausible explanation of this that I've heard so far.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope so. Well, thank you very much, Professor Sloan, and please come on again sometime soon.
When we get the Electoral College official vote behind us, maybe we can talk about how is the media now going to portray Trump? What is their news strategy going to be? Their strategy up until now was to portray him as a madman whose hand should not be in the same room as the nuclear button. There's sort of no profit in that line anymore, but they're going to have to come up with a new tack. I think they already have, and we can talk about that another time.
Okay, sounds great. Well, to our listeners, stay tuned, because in a couple of days we'll be having another podcast with Reverend Mark Dantoff. So until then, happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and Merry Christmas.